Russ. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Mary, would you please?
Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First thing on our agenda.
We do have an added agenda item tonight, and I'm going to request that we do it first on the agenda after the general public comments, which do not pertain to the agenda, any of the agenda, specific agenda items tonight, and that is the election of a chair and vice chair for the Planning Commission. So we'll do that after public comments and before approval of the minutes.
So you want to do public comments first?
Please.
Is there anybody here who wants to make a public comment?
Should we clarify that? Is this regarding item 2016-48 IF, the proposed amendments to zoning ordinance on the single car garage?
It is.
Okay. So we should save those.
Save those for hearing, yes.
So there will be an opportunity to specifically make a comment on that agenda item.
Are you collecting for speaking on that?
Do we have a sign-in sheet?
Oh, we have a sign-in sheet for that.
I didn't know that we did.
That's okay.
I can look.
No, we don't. There's one over there.
We'll have ample opportunity when at that time for anyone interested in making comments. Do so at that time.
Want to make a comment now, Corey? Or?
No, I think I'd make it in a public hearing.
It's regarding the same item?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it then.
It's all on
this. This would just be any other general public comments from the Planning Commission regarding city business, anything else?
Whatever it may be. Yeah. Added agenda items is?
Election of a chair and vice chair. So, believe it or not, this is actually the first meeting of this calendar year, and in the ordinance it says at that meeting, a chair and vice chair will be elected by the commission. So, if anyone has, we'll need a name and then a second and then a vote and all those in favor. I don't know if any of you have any suggestions on that. That's your business.
I nominate Kathy as chair.
Oh my goodness.
I second it.
Oh my goodness.
Welcome to planning.
Welcome.
So at least then you can at least do all those in favor, and if you two vote
aye in favor,
Kathy, I guess you be the chair.
Aye.
Okay.
Opposed, forget it.
Vice chair?
Vice chair, why not? Norm has done that position. I nominate Norm.
And I second Norm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So, okay. Well, that was quick. So, yeah, pass the gavel over to Kat. You're good. So, just the rest of the agenda, take it from here on the agenda item number 6.
Okay, approval of meeting minutes. Are there any questions on that?
I'm fine.
Okay. So,
I approve. Okay.
Make a motion to approve.
Okay. Motion for approval.
Second. Thank you. Motion to approve meeting minutes. Approved.
Mm-hmm. Aye. You ask for all those in favor.
All those in favor.
Aye.
This was a fake.
No, it's okay.
Good.
Okay.
I think I heard three ayes.
I
were three ayes.
Yes.
For the record, thank you.
I was sit back because I figured they had it all taken care of. Oh my goodness. Okay, let's move on to 2016-48-1F, proposed amendments to Zoning Ordinance 2012-05, Section 10, permitted uses to require at a minimum a single car garage for single family and duplex dwellings. And I hereby open the public hearing.
So the first item is that we'll make staff report and then we can open it up to public comments and then we'll close the public hearing and let the commission deliberate. The first thing I do want to note before I go into the staff report is that we did receive three written comments today, which is generally later than allowed, but certainly we will take all of them. But I want to make sure everybody on the commission has had time to read them. They are part of the record and they are public comments. So has everybody had time to read them? Because if you have not, well, we should take the time for you to do that now.
I haven't finished reading them.
Okay. Can we take a few minutes? Is that okay? I should make sure everybody has ample time to review those. And apologize to the public, but they were hot off the press at 5 o'clock today, so I just want to make sure that everybody's comments are fairly read by everybody. Of the origination of this. I think as everyone knows, the city of Lapine has prioritized cleanup organization, put the shine on Lapine, high quality development and safety in the city. And after several conversations with both the city of Redmond as well as the city of Madras, the city wanted to, I'll back that up. We wanted to reach out to other cities to see how these issues have been addressed. And after conversations with Redmond and Madras to understand how they address these issues, we drafted this proposed amendment to the code for the requirement of the addition of a single car garage for the storage of personal property, for vehicles, for that opportunity for every home to have that. Again, out of view and away from right of way for the safety improvement as well as aesthetics and organization Shine on Lapine approach. I will go through all of the findings with you as well. I have to get into detail, but I just wanted to give that background. There was deliberate effort made to not make it, in our opinions as staff, overly aggressive and requiring a double car garage or something greater. That's why it was really kept at the single car garage with an eye towards the affordability. So just to highlight as part of the findings, these are the applicable review criteria. So whenever we have a decision in front of us, whether it be reviewed administratively or through a hearing, we have specific regulations from the city as well as from the state. So the city regulations that we have to review are the procedures ordinance to make sure we're following all the processes and noticing correctly, as well as the comprehensive plan. And then we have statewide planning goals that we have to address for any code amendments, and we'll step through those in a little bit. Just want to highlight what the amendments are, the proposed amendments are. This falls under Section 10, which is the section in the zoning ordinance that outlines all of the permitted uses in all, this one's not quite, the staff report is the one that has the full details, but this is fine, this gets the details, the point across, but this section 10 outlines from residential uses to commercial uses to industrial uses across the board. And so within that section, there are specific single-family dwelling and single-family residential zone requirements. And the proposal is, first on that top heading, that bullet A, additional regulations for single-family zones, to make that more clear, not just zones, but dwellings. The reason for that is that there are a few single-family zones, but single-family dwellings are actually allowed in a number of different zones. So that's to clarify that and make those requirements more broad as than just two residential zones. For example, the city has a commercial residential mixed-use zone that can have, in fact, is required to have 60% of a property's use be residential. So it could still be a single family home. So that's just a clarification point both on A and B. Bullet three underneath A, I'll just go ahead and read that. I think everybody's read it, but just want to make it very clear what is proposed. It says all single family dwellings, including manufactured homes, shall have a minimum of a one car private attached garage with permanent exterior walls and a vehicle entry door. Minimum garage dimensions shall be 20 feet deep and 12 feet wide. Minimum garage door dimensions shall be 7 feet tall and 8 feet wide. The garage shall have exterior siding material and paint colors the same or similar to the dwelling unit. The requirement shall apply regardless of the zone in which the single-family dwelling is located, except that it shall expressly not apply to manufactured homes and mobile homes located within a mobile home park. This language is very similar to what Redmond and Madras already have in their code as well. And then similarly, under the multiple family dwelling section, it reads very similar, referencing duplexes. And I won't read that because it's basically the same. Again, more proposed amendments to clarify and reference back to those. These don't change the intent. This is just referencing back to those that code, basically stating single family dwellings are allowed in this zone provided they comply with the additional regulations for the single family dwellings in that previous section that I just read. Same goes for the multiple family dwellings. Again, the exact same thing for the RMP as well as CRMX, just the same language referencing. This is more of a, this is kind of duplicative in the code because if it's already approved under the additional requirements, it's required, but this is just a good reminder to the reader of the ordinance that they need to refer back to that section 10A and 10B. And again, same thing for the CMX, CN and TA areas. It's the same language, just referencing back to those additional requirements. So that's just a reminder of the applicable review criteria, because a lot of the comments that come in, if you have comments that can specifically address any of those criteria, it's certainly helpful. And then I will go through some of the staff report. I know you've all had it for a while and probably read it, but I do want to hit on the highlights of it. Starting with page 3 of the staff report. Starting to talk about conformance with the Lapine Comprehensive Plan. Like I mentioned, we have a code amendment. We need to go through the Comprehensive Plan and see what goals and policies of the Comprehensive Plan may or may not apply to the code amendment. And the first one is obviously very important and applies to any amendment we make, and it's related to citizen involvement. And that ties back to state planning goals. But just in short, this is just a summary for you that this amendment has been reviewed in accordance with the public notification procedures in the code, and that includes advance notice in newspapers, advance postings around town, and we're having a hearing tonight at the Planning Commission meeting. Should the amendment be approved here, it would go to a council hearing as well, so it'd be an opportunity for a second hearing. Page 4. The next chapter of the comprehensive plan that is relevant is Chapter 10, Housing. And this chapter addresses the housing and statewide planning goals to ensure provisions of appropriate types and amounts of land within the Lapine Urban Growth Boundary are maintained to support a wide range of housing types. And the finding on that is that the proposed amendments don't impact the city's ability to inventory and plan for buildable lands for residential use. And in consideration of affordable housing goals, the proposed requirements were limited to a single car garage to minimize the additional construction costs. And these requirements are not applicable to apartments. Goal number one, as part of the Chapter 10 housing, talks about requiring the city to encourage a wide range of housing types, satisfying the urban development needs of the Pine community. And one of the policies that falls underneath that is that it is necessary to encourage development and redevelopment of residential areas to make them safe, convenient, and attractive places to live. And so the finding on that one, I think, is relevant to this discussion. Again, the proposed text amendments to require minimum single car garage supports the above policy by providing single family and duplex dwellings with a safe area for storage for personal property and or vehicles. By having items stored in areas away from the right of way, potential impacts from snow removal or public activity can be reduced, thereby increasing the safety. Additionally, the availability of a garage for each dwelling is an intention to improve neighborhood aesthetics, addressing that attractive places requirement in the policy by reducing storage outside and within the public view by providing an enclosed area for storage. The requirement for uniformity in appearance with the dwelling structure supports the above policy's requirement for attractive places. Staff finds the proposed amendments to support and comply with the relevant goal and policy of this chapter. Moving on to statewide planning goals, I won't read through every one of them because a lot of them honestly don't apply to this amendment. I will highlight goal 7, natural hazards, to protect people and property from natural hazards. That's on page 5, the very bottom. Noting that your winters in the Pine are generally harsh, which we've certainly seen this year, with significant snow and low temperatures. And the presence of vehicles and personal property within or near public right-of-way creates public hazards during snow removal. Proposed amendments to require a minimum single-car garage for single-family and duplex structures supports this goal by providing an enclosed and covered area for storage of personal property and vehicles where it can be protected from natural weather conditions, as well as located outside of the right-of-way to reduce risk of hazard during heavy snowstorms. And then the other one, similarly, goal 12 at the bottom of page 6, for transportation, to provide and encourage a safe, convenient, and economic transportation system. In short, the proposed amendments don't impact the city's ability to plan for all modes of transportation or to inventory and plan for classifications of transportation facilities. However, on a local level, the proposed amendments do support the city's need to provide a safe transportation system by providing a potential location for vehicles and personal property inside the garages. By facilitating the storage of vehicles and personal property inside garages rather than near or within the right-of-way, the local streetscape can be a safer area with fewer obstacles near the travel way or within the snow plowing zone. And that concludes, I think, the general portions of the staff report that are strictly applicable to this. And we conclude the staff report, unless there's any specific questions for you, from you, for me, and we can move on to the public testimony when you're ready.
Any questions?
I do have one, and that's on townhouses, which we're not doing, or hopefully we will be doing shortly. And I think that they should be exempt from this particular thing, because otherwise we're automatically putting a three-story high building in.
Yeah, and these are really written just for single-family homes and duplexes.
However, a townhouse is considered a single-family home.
It could be, and so we could certainly...
I think we need to add that as a...
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, because depending on how it's classified, it could be considered either a multifamily or a single family. That's true. If it's a zero lot line.
For finance purposes, it's considered a single family. Therefore.
I think that's fair, yeah. And those sorts of comments, after your deliberation, after you've heard public testimony, what we can do, if there are comments that come out of this, you can make recommendations of amendments you'd want to see, or approval with certain amendments, and those can be amended prior to council hearing.
Okay, we'll go on to public comments.
at this point, it's going to be opponents or proponents for this particular issue.
My wife and I own a house.
If you could please come up to the mic.
I don't want to.
Please.
No, I'm sorry.
Otherwise,
it
won't go on record. Yeah, she'd be about to.
Please state your name and your address.
My name is Steve Mobley. I live at 52585 Antler. We recently bought another property just down the road as an investment. And we were thinking either moving there ourselves and building the house, or moving a mobile on there and getting the rental out of it. This garage thing is a kick in the teeth. I have to put another $25,000 to $30,000, go through permitting through Deschutes County to try and build a house for a garage I don't want, I don't need. I don't see it. And all my neighbors feel the same. I think LaFarnia's just kicking them in the teeth. They're losing control of their land and the property, and they're not happy. So I'm really surprised there's not more people here. You know, you look at people's houses that have a bunch of junk out front, it doesn't matter how big their garage is. They're sloppy people. So that's all I got to say. Thanks for hearing me.
Yeah. It's interesting to be on another side. My name is Gloria Fleming, 50662 Deer Forest Drive, Lapine. I was on the comprehensive plan. I've been involved since the beginning, and I was involved in the comprehensive plan, and I also was involved in the development of the ordinances. And since most of you are new, I thought maybe I would feel a little compelled to kind of state what the philosophy was that was expressed throughout all of the negotiations and all of the things that we talked about. Actually, there was a lot of discussion about the covered areas. That ended up getting in, but not the garage. But even that, you know, the carports and that sort of thing, there was a lot of disagreement on whether that should be put in there. We did pass, we have the basic rules in place. That was approved. So even without this ordinance. But the biggest thing, Lapine is very independent. And since we were a small city with the plan, we felt we could handle things on more of an individual basis at the time the comp plan was developed. There were too many rules. That was the biggest thing, and that was one of the things that was so hard to get it to be a city in the first place, because the people didn't want all of the rules. You can make more rules, you can't make less, and the state has quite a few that we have to follow just to begin with. Let's see, there was a lot of red tape, and we tried to set it up so that we could be flexible, and that special circumstances could be looked at, and I didn't see anything in here for that. My way of thinking, and I don't speak for everybody that was there, was that if somebody comes up with something that's unique, that it really should be looked at. And rather than just having blanket rules, you have to do this. Let's see. And one of the things that I thought about was the mother-in-law quarters. That might necessarily, if they would have to have a separate garage or something like that, an additional building on the property, that concerned me. What about the people now? Are they going to be grandfathered? Okay. Basically, that's it. I felt like I needed to explain to you what the thinking was in the beginning and why the rules aren't a lot stricter than they are. So as far as building is concerned. Thank you.
Next, anyone else?
So my name is Lisa Chambers. I've called the Pine Home since 1969. I was fortunate enough to be in the first graduating class of Pine High. I'm very proud of this town. I've seen a lot of changes. I'm a real estate broker here in town. I have been since 04. Although I hang my license with a Bend office, 75 to 80% of my business is LaPine. It's where my heart and soul is. I did submit written, but it was late, so I'm not sure if you guys received it. I did bring a copy. I'm not going to waste your time going through it if you received it. Just in summary, one of the things that I have a problem as a real estate broker that with this ordinance is that we have a lot of people here that do plan to build with a manufactured home on some of our lots that are an acre. Our city has such different types of land when you talk about a city lot and what we would call a county lot prior to the city coming in. To add a garage to a manufactured home today, a brand new one, the cost of the garage alone is between $10,000 and $15,000, according to Russ Elliott. That doesn't include some of the things that have to be taken into account. A manufactured home that's had an addition put onto it is not financeable if that addition, or until that addition, is self-supporting. So when you take a garage and you add it to a manufactured home where it might make sense to a side door or a back door or that type of thing, that contractor is going to have to make sure that that structure is actually separate even though it's attached. It has to be self-supporting. Otherwise, a foundations engineer, which is required on any FHA loan, is going to require more improvementship. So a person who's going to put a manufactured home on because that's what they can afford to have the lifestyle they wish by living in LaPine, we now have taken that away. The other thing that I would like for you guys to consider is that an Adair home, which I don't mean anything bad about Adair, but it's not the high-end home, just for the garage is $7,000. That doesn't count finishing it with sheetrock. That doesn't count an apron out front. That doesn't account anything else. A lot of these people that buy properties on an acre, their intention is to have a home and a shop. We see it time and time again. I'll bet you my number one search on my website is a shop. So if somebody planned to put a manufactured home or a frame-built home on that property and then build a shop, that's not going to be attached. Okay, so now we're missing that. But my other concern is where you have in the ordinance that it would be a similar material and the same color. So you build a beautiful frame-built home and you want to put up a metal RV shop, how do you make that match? It comes in three colors, your house is green, it comes in that really ugly green, excuse me for those of you must have that, or the yellow or the brown. To make them match is not going to always be it's not going to make sense financially. So I'd really love for you to reconsider it for the future of especially those areas where we do have larger acreage parcels and that within our little city streets, what I call the city streets. I understand what you're saying completely. But when you start getting out onto Doe and Antler and Schedule and that area and down back off of Greenwood and that, I just think that we are really putting our citizens in a bad situation. So I'd really like for you to reconsider, and I thank you very much for your time.
Hi, I'm Jane Gillette, 5857 Fortin Drive here in town. I'm also a real estate broker here in town, and I can reiterate everything that Lisa said is actually very accurate. I can also add that, but I think one of the most important things is that you not do make restrictions that are really property owner or subdivision type of restrictions, and that type of thing should be left up to either an HOA or the neighborhood association, whatever it is that's doing that. And if it's your desire to have neat, orderly neighborhoods, things that don't look junky, then I think we should maybe concentrate efforts on the number of outbuildings you can have, or you can reorganize the verbiage on this to say, you know, you need to have a garage. It needs to be done within 5 years of the original construction. You don't have to limit the type of construction that's put on there. That might be a better way to go about it. So I can, you know, I'd be glad to offer other suggestions, but I think there are other ways to go about this than being so restrictive as to a one-car garage attached. The manufactured home issue is huge. You can't attach to a manufactured home. It just won't finance unless it's freestanding. So that really should be a consideration for anybody moving into the neighborhoods.
Thank you, Jim. Next.
Good evening, planning commissioners and staff. My name is Tyler Neese, and I'm the government affairs director with the Central Oregon Association of Realtors. I don't live in Lapine, but I'm here on behalf of CRAR representing our members in Lapine. First of all, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to comment on the proposed text amendments to the zoning ordinance. I also want to commend you, the city, and its staff and planning commissioners on your work toward beautification, showcasing your city. I think that's, you know, evidenced in these amendments, and obviously is the intent. But some of these changes, you know, have impacts that must be carefully considered. And I'm here on behalf, again, of COAR and our members to voice concerns related specifically to the addition of a requirement under Section 10, which we've been talking about, additional regulations for single-family dwellings. And this proposed addition, which requires, you know, obviously the attached private garage, stipulates also that it must have the same type of siding, you know, be uniform with the actual dwelling itself, and also outlines some specific measurements and requirements for the actual building. That's a concern for our organization, actually mandating something specific in terms of building design. We request that requirement be removed from the amendments. It really would greatly limit homeowners. It can also impact financing. I think that, you know, both Jay and Thisa touched on that and the long-term impacts and ramifications. And we believe that the market should drive how homes are built, and such restrictions regarding design and aesthetics should be left to developers and enforced by HOAs. So we submitted a letter also to the commission. You probably had that in front of you or had a chance to review it, and outlines our concerns a little more. We'd be happy to further discuss the issue and also poll some of our members who, you know, have spoken here tonight. But just wanted to reiterate our concerns with you tonight and ask that you reconsider this language before making your recommendation to City Council. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Ready to close the public hearing and commissioners' deliberations. Have any thoughts?
The first thing I had was telling how I was going to be here. The other thing is that one thing that I'd like to mention is the fact that I have three written things here, two of which accuse us of being prejudiced against manufactured homes. I'd like to tell you that two of us live in manufactured homes, and we also live on 1 acre lots, so we aren't going out of our way to hurt people on manufactured lots or homes or anything like that. As far as the going on to why we are doing this, it's not to punish people, it is to, by the way, we've had a little bit of a storm out here. We have cars all over the streets that cannot get into their own driveways or
Yeah.
Can't get off the streets. That's part of the reason why that we are putting the request in to put in a new building will have a garage attached.
If you can't get to the garage, it's not going to help.
How did you get to the garage? You can't get in the garage.
Because they burned us in. That's why. Look at the houses on Amazon. They're all 100 feet back.
Yes. I understand that you may have a problem with the plowing, but guess what? I happen to live out in Cagle area too, as does Mary. We have the same problem. I do have a garage attached to my house. It's manufactured. Mary does
I
not.
I don't have an attached garage. It's sitting out in the back.
But, you know, I can tell you one thing, having a car out of the weather during a minus 10 degree weather is a tremendous advantage. One of the other things that I also checked into this morning was Habitat for Humanity changed their policies 4 years ago to add garages to all their places. And the reason for that is because we live in a rough area. And it makes sense to have a garage. Well, that's my opinion.
And I would say, for me, if I had had to have an attached garage when I got my place, I would have never been able to have it. We had to build the garage way later, after we got our house. I mean, and I understand where people are coming from, because we didn't have the money to go all out.
Again, my take on this is I understand that now we're a city, and the convenience and the safety, the aesthetic value, looking at, we have an understanding of what the homes are going to look like, and an attempt to attract more upscale, I hate to use that, but just to improve the option of people coming to Lapine and trying to find good homes. I believe that the garages provide safety too, and I realize some people have junk no matter how many garages they have, and we need to be able to take care of some of those through the ordinances, and we need to start looking at those more closely and working with that. I guess for me, I don't know if there would be an option, like if they have a couple of acres, would that be something Gloria was talking about with circumstances or,
sure, there, you know, there, there, some cities have an exception process, and the city of Lapine has an exceptions process right now, but that's for a different sort of process. That would be an exceptions for a type of use. If you know, if it was desirable to the city, planning commission and council, there could be development of some sort of a garage exceptions process that does layer folks within the process and be with more review requirements. But there certainly could be an exceptions process if that was something desired by the commission and council.
And to me, the realtors can tell me more, but I always think that a home with a garage is more valuable, more welcoming than one without one.
I'd be happy to answer that for you.
Do we okay?
It's, yes, a home with a garage is always more attractive. Mm-hmm. However, we're not talking about existing homes here. We're talking about new construction. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the person who bought a lot on Antler that planned to retire here and is a year away and has saved their pennies to buy that $72,000 manufacturing home. And now it's going to cost them $100,000 to $105,000, maybe even $110,000 just for the home and the garage, without the push out, without the septic, without the well, without all that. So yes, with a garage is much more desirable. However, we're talking about what somebody wants to build for themselves to live in. We're not talking about resale with this ordinance. Yes, a garage helps with resale. However, on resale with a manufactured home, like I said, if that's not self-supported, we're talking thousands upon thousands of dollars to fix it or have the house be totally unfinanceable.
Thank you.
So at this point, the commission. Okay.
I moved here a year ago, May. I didn't look for a house. I moved just outside of the city limits, not knowing city limits, not city limits. I looked for the workshop, the pole barn, the garage, whatever you want to call it, that we could put the trailer in and the two vehicles, and my husband could have a workshop. That's what brought me to Lapine, was the big workshops. If you're restricting somebody in this city to something that has to look just like their house, they're not going to come here. You're going to go find somewhere else to move.
Thank you. So I think at this point, if you don't have any more deliberations or comments, your options are to approve it as it is, to approve it with recommended changes. You could reopen the hearing and continue the hearing to a time and date certain if you feel like you need to continue the discussion. You could send along the same lines of approving with recommendations. You could approve it with the caveats of, you know, as Russ was saying, you know, townhouses should be exempt. I think that there's a few items that warrant a little more discussion by the commission. One being the exceptions process. That's something I think a few of you have mentioned now after Gloria comment on it. And then the attached versus detached issue. And then the issue of same or similar building materials. Those to me stand out as the four themes that you have mentioned, that it would be helpful to get feedback on where you stand on that. And if how you'd like us as staff to address that, if those are items that you want modified, or if you want certain ones of those to stand as they are, should we go forward with it?
I personally would like, do you guys have anything?
I personally think we need more feedback for it, because for me personally, like they're saying, I would have never had a house a mobile with the garage next to it, because the men want their, I don't want all the fumes coming into my house from what my husband and all of them get outside. I mean, for me personally, that would be, you know, it wouldn't be the way we would go. And most of the people that I know around Lapine are that way, because their husbands, their garages is what they live for, a lot of them. I mean, if you had it right next to the house, if that's the only one you got, and like Russ has got his next to the house attached, but he's also got
his I also shop. Have my shop.
Yeah, and most of people can't afford that's coming into a home.
Okay, I think, we have a couple of amendments, possibly, and we need some more discussion time, so.
Okay. And if you could, as a group, I think, vote on what those modifications would be. And you don't have to vote on the specific wording of it, because we as staff can certainly work on that. But those categories that you would like to see added in, to the code. Yeah, one at a time. So I think for the first one, being the exceptions process, do you see that as a requirement to be added in? That would be helpful to have a vote on if you want us to proceed on that.
Is that individual exceptions?
Yes, what that would look like is an individual property owner coming to Planning Commission with their proposal of why their situation may not be applicable to the ordinance.
And that's on an individual basis?
It would be an individual basis, yes. And there would be specific criteria that are laid out so that you don't have, you know, it's not like everybody can come just for any reason, but there would be some specific reasons outlined within. We don't need an individual vote on it. I just need
a direction
and maybe some head nodding.
Townhomes.
And get a nod on that, yes. Right. The other one being attached versus detached.
I think detached is I'm saying major problem. There will be some standards.
See, sometimes I look at these differently. If someone's got a couple acres, as I do, if you're in Crescent Creek or something else, how would a detached garage work in Crescent Creek? I don't see that.
So maybe it's a clarification of lot size versus attached and attached versus detached based on lot size. Okay. And then the other one is the same or similar material, building materials.
I don't think that's necessary.
Okay.
I mean, I can understand why somebody wants to put up metal rock. The main thing is, one of the things I see is major advantage is the fact that, let's get the cars off the roads, give them a place to be, things like that. And store
safety.
And a clarification question on that, on the same or similar materials, do you see any value in having that associated with lot sizing, or would you like to see that changed across the board?
I'm sorry, I lost that.
It's really hard to hear that.
Sorry.
I was saying a clarification on the same or similar building materials. Do you see value in that being differentiated on the lot size? So if it's a larger lot size, maybe it's not the same or similar. If it's a smaller lot size, it should be, or would you like to see it?
Or connected to detached or not,
right.
Or attached, right? If you have a detached garage versus an attached garage, should it have similar if it's attached or not similar? If it's detached, does that make sense?
Well, yes.
Or if you tie it to lot size.
Or do you prefer that it not be in there at all?
I think if it's attached, it should look uniform. Yes.
Any of that should not be informed.
Yes.
It's part of the
similar
house.
Or same.
No.
Yes. But I don't think with manufactured homes, you need to have an attached garage. You could have a garage, but I don't see the point for attached.
Well, one of the things that you was commenting on is on a manufactured home, it has to be a self-sustained garage. If it's attached, which is the same thing, it's a standalone house or garage. So that's not going to save anything. The one thing that I would like to clarify is the fact that the things that are written here are minimum of this, proportion as far as garage size and all the rest of that. It doesn't mean that you can't have a two-car garage or something
with
like
a shop,
that.
Right? Absolutely.
Or a shop or anything else. It just means that at minimum you're going to have a garage. As far as the economy goes and things like that, I think we all know that there are plenty of places around here that were built very cheaply. And, do we want to continue to grow in the pine with whatever happens to tickle somebody's fancy as far as building goes? And, you know, I hate to be blunt about it, but I've seen some pretty lousy places out there. And we are now trying to be a city. And the city needs to have some kind of standards. That's my opinion. So,
okay. So, let's settle how we're going to proceed with, are we addressing the amendments as presented tonight? It sounds like there's some substantial changes that commission would like staff to work into these amendments and then view the proposed changes with those included. So given the level of those changes, what we're thinking is that it probably makes the most sense to not continue the public hearing, but instead set a whole new date to have another public hearing on this matter after staff has had time to prepare these amendments and after the public's been properly notified. So that would be, I mean, at this point, that would be sometime in March.
Yeah.
Likely. Yes. I forgot to notice date period.
We have to get in the newspapers 10 days in advance, and the newspapers take a little bit extra time.
Yeah. So at least a few weeks from now, that puts you in the March. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the direction I think we're headed for. Now there will be another public comment period at the end. So we'll do that. We'll make those changes based on the feedback and direction that we got tonight, and everyone can stay tuned for the date of the next public hearing.
Thank you. Close the public hearing then. Okay, we'll move on to application for Planning Commission vacancy from Jane Gillette. No?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you want to come up to the chair? Come on down. Commission can chat, ask some questions, or whatever they see fit.
Chat away.
So, my main reason for applying for the commission post, actually I wasn't even sure there was one open, but thought that would be, given my background, where I might be best used. I wanted to serve in some capacity on the city committee. And given my real estate and escrow and title background, I felt like that perhaps would benefit me, as well as some construction knowledge that I know of. My mom was the city manager and mayor's secretary for 30 years in Astoria, so I have some knowledge of the processes involved. But that was a long time ago. So, I think my main questions were, how much time does it involve? Since I am still employed, that's my first priority. Family is set, always in there. So I want to make sure that I would have enough time to, if I were chosen to, certainly to serve and serve well. I don't want to do anything halfway.
Okay. Well, in that sense, I'm pretty new on this and I only experienced the council.
Well, I can answer that real quick, and then I'll let them shed some light on it. So for everyone's knowledge, the Planning Commission generally meets monthly on the third Wednesday of every month. Sometimes things get changed, as we're here on Thursday, or if we have special public hearings, we could have two meetings a month potentially. Oftentimes in the holiday months, call it November, December, we might not have a meeting. If we don't have substantial material to bring to the Planning Commission, we also might go a month without having a meeting. So generally, on average, you should count on probably one meeting a month, a couple hours. What we like to do and try to do is also just send email updates, kind of ideally a monthly update, keeping planning commissioners informed of kind of the amount of development that's happening in the city, and if, answering questions if they have any, keeping them informed so that when we do have meetings, they're up to speed on what's happening. So that's pretty much the extent of the time commitment as I see it, but I'd love to hear their input as well.
I would just add too that Ashley and Patty get the packets out usually the Friday before the meeting, and it's just expected that everybody has read the packet. Very important, especially when there are public comments in it. We're trying to get the public comments into them at the packet stage. Tonight was an exception because these comments were very important, and we certainly wanted them to have them before the meeting. But usually we get those in advance so that you can be familiar with everything that's in the packet. Because, you know, as you saw, everybody here would be bored out of their minds, maybe even more so than they were tonight from the staff report reading, if I actually read it page to page. And some of the documents can be 34 pages long. But once you read a couple of them, you'll start realizing what you're reading very quickly, and a page can be very quickly read. So there's certainly, I think, some prep time. I would let the commissioners, I think, respond to that as well.
Considering this my second meeting and I'm the senior person here, I would say that you guys met, well, we've had, what, two meetings this year? I usually spend about 4 or 5 hours looking at what's happening in the pine and trying to catch up with them. But out of a month's time, that is not that much time, I'm sure. Other people spend different times, amounts of time.
And occasionally attending other meetings, yeah, like council meetings or whatever's going on in
town
regarding city or...
I interrupted you, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, one thing that I should add, this is a good time to mention it, we've got a transportation growth management grant that's going to be unfolding over the next, I'm going to say, 3, 4, 5 months. And there's going to be quite a few joint meetings between the Planning Commission and the Council, because it'll be influencing some proposed amendments to the ordinance in terms of looking at maybe how do we create an aesthetic and unified Huntington Main Street in the downtown area. So that is one thing that's a little unusual, is that heading into spring there will be some more meetings between the Planning Commission and Council as we go through this grant process.
I think we also have to look at the fact that there are a lot of things happening in the pine which have never happened before. And the momentum for that is coming real fast. I mean, over the next 5 years, I can see a tremendous change in the pine.
So how long has it been, have they had a planning commission? I know. You're fairly new.
Yeah, I've been with the city as a consultant for a year and a half, a little more than a year and a half. Planning Commission was formed before I came on board, but really when Corey and I started was when things started getting busy. Not attributable to us, but attributable to the city that had been established and was ready to start enforcing its own rules. But it's been very active for a year and a half.
Well, we did the comp plan and we did the ordinances, so that kept us really busy for a couple of years. So,
how long is the term?
Four years.
Yeah. It's a commitment.
And you know, there's obviously, I think, one commissioner that isn't here tonight.
Yeah, he's out.
Okay.
He's out. He's vacationing for 2 months.
That,
so there's flexibility.
There's some flexibility in there, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for travel and vacations.
And this is my second time. First, when we didn't have a quorum. So this is my first official, and I spent about 3 hours reading through and trying to figure out what it's all about. Gonna learn. You're welcome to learn with us.
The other note I would make, obviously with your field, you're probably very familiar with a lot of the regulations already, but the other note I would make is that there are a lot of planning decisions that are made by staff. So we don't bring, you know, we're getting many, many applications, and working as fast as we can to keep up with them, honestly. But we don't bring those all to Planning Commission because our meeting tonight would be 10 hours long. So the big ones come to Planning Commission. Code changes, zone changes, comp plan changes, things like that. But site plans, conditional use applications, site plan applications, we review as a staff. They're always open for Planning Commission input and public input. We send out notices to Planning Commission as well as neighbors within 100 feet, depending on what the application is. But we don't expect you to make a decision on all of those. A beautiful job.
Anything else?
Answered, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions of Jane?
What do you think you get out of being on the planning commission?
I could see it benefiting my real estate career, just in the fact that I would have some foreknowledge of things that might be coming down the pike to warn potential buyers or sellers about, things like that. Obviously, if you know of those things, then there might be things you currently have or people you've sold to that you might say, hey, you might want to be at this hearing, something like that. So I just, you know, I don't want it to be a conflict, but I do think there's some things, you know, given the things we just talked about with this amendment change that maybe could have been prevented had you had some of that knowledge ahead of time, or maybe could have added some good information.
Yeah, there is that. Can you separate being a realtor between looking at the city and how that would work together for you, if it's comfortable or not?
Yeah.
I think one other thing that I've noticed, I've heard it here a couple times, and that's the homeowners associations. Mm-hmm. In Lapine, there are very few homeowner associations that handle such zoning problems. There is Crescent Creek, but
there are very few working homeowners associations that.
I mean, the outskirts, they have the road commissions, they have all sorts of things out there. In the Pine, it is all the Pine.
That's what makes America great. It's choice. That frame of choice.
Variety to the whole thing. And again, as we've all heard tonight, there's a difference obvious between Hagel, Huntington, and Crescent Creek. You know, we've got a lot of variety in these things. So.
Yeah, I think change is good. You know, we can learn from one another.
And I want to see Lapine grow and flourish and be a vibrant community as well. It's got a long way to go. I don't want it to be Bend. I don't want it to be Sisters. I want it to be Lapine. I think just having those like acreage parcels within the city limits is right there, something that the majority of cities doesn't have. So there's going to be some special considerations that have to be made along the way.
Well, the other thing about the Planning Commission, it's not just the real estate housing development.
No.
It's also, we've got industrial parks out here that we're trying to get that moving. There are a lot of other things that will come into effect, and a lot more in the future than what we have right now. I know it's since I've been on the Planning Commission all of two times. You know, we already had various places that are coming about out there in the industrial park, you know, which is something that never happened before.
Right.
This is all new. So we are trying to figure out how to do all. So it will take some time. Anyway.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Tom Bradler.
First of all, let me say I have no connection to real estate or land development. So I made that one clear. My background is extensive nonprofit involvement and leadership roles. I don't know if you look at the packet or not, if you have questions about that. I don't see any conflict in any of those things I've done. There could be, but I'm not aware of any competing conflict at all. As far as why I'm interested in this position, I moved here in 2002, and I've watched the city grow. was in Western Mississippi, in Mississippi, and watching how it's evolving. And we were driving downtown when they put the first stoplight in. Go downtown, park, and took pictures, put it on the internet, said, hey, we got our first stoplight here. We're growing. You know, I remember living here for 2 years and shopping in Ace Hardware before the Weimar came in. So we've had a lot of things coming. And I like the fact that we want to grow in an orderly, planned way. And but I think we want to keep our small town the way we are. And not, like she said, you know, we don't want to be Ben. I think we have our own identity. I realize I would have to be doing a little catch-up work on the regulations, but I don't see that's a problem. I do a lot of reading as it is. If you have any questions, I feel free to fire them away.
Go ahead, Leonard, do you have anything?
You said why you wanted to be on. How we're working and the planning and being part of that. Your resume looks great. You've done a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I think all of them would be really helpful for what we're doing because you have that leadership and the know-how.
And I have a few connections. Well, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to say connections. Yeah. A few people I've met along the way. Yeah. Networking, I think, is responsible. I was here yesterday and Tony and Tammy and Tom and those folks. I know them. I've testified in the county. I've testified written and orally at the Planning Commission and the Board of Directors. Or Commission of Directors.
I think you'd be a good asset.
You would help.
You volunteer a lot of time and you're involved in various things throughout the city. Do you have anything else?
What did you do before you came here?
I was a federal employee. And 30 plus years in. Lived in California. But I did graduate from Beaverton High School, so went south and came back north again. So, yeah, I'll have whatever you say about that.
I used to live in New York, so I know the handicap.
Well, I lived in the Bay Area, so it's cool. You know. I dread the thought every time I have to go south for a funeral or something, I gotta go, oh, here it goes. You know.
Do you have any questions for us, Tom? Anything that wasn't previously answered?
No, I was intently listening to Jane. it was good information. We were chit-chatting, and I apologize. Still the listening audience back here. And I was kind of amazed when you're talking about attached. And I kept thinking, well, why does it have to be attached? Why can't you have a garage that's detached? Yeah. And then another, you were talking about changing verbiage, and the thought I thought was, well, maybe it should also take into account the way the house is oriented on the property. Might have something to do with what we're doing there also. Whether it's sitting this way or sitting this way, makes a lot of difference.
Thank you, Tom. That was easy.
Yeah. Very painless. Thank you.
Wait.
Thank you.
John Cameron.
Good evening.
Hi. Welcome.
My name is John Cameron, and I had a number of questions. And just to cut through that, I think almost all of them have been answered. Time, the scope, what's really required. My interest was prompted by a conversation with the mayor at a chamber breakfast, as I recall. And he had come to my house actually pre-election to solicit votes. In fact, the matter, he came and came back, and not knowing he'd already been. But anyway, so we had a good chance to talk. And I said, what we've discussed here, it all sounds good as far as your mayorship might go. We hadn't talked about anything on the commission at that time, but quick background, from California, Bay Area, moved here late 2015. I lived in California most of my life, and not a fan. Okay. And whenever I had time, I would come to places like Lapine for my vacation, for my relaxation, for my recreation. I found that Lapine, even in a year and a half, is a great fit. It's not Bend. It's certainly not California. And I can see that growth is inevitable. What type of growth for me as a citizen of Lapine would be very important. I've seen growth gone bad, and as part of the commission, I would like to be part of that growth management, financial health, in terms of growth, and overall improvement in quality of life of people in Lapine. Don't see my wife and I going anywhere anytime soon. This seems to be very good. But in terms of experience and commission of any type, none. All of my experience I had in my previous employer, I was there for 30 years. It was in semiconductor manufacturing. I was a manager, I was a director. Deal with people. And it seems clear that dealing with this ordinance and so forth, there's going to be a lot of back and forth. But I don't know, that's me in a nutshell, I guess. And it'd be a challenge. Again, I mean, there's people here that do have experience in this very thing, and as a hiring manager, you've got to respect experience. I definitely would be a newbie, and there'd be a lot to learn. But anyway, the mayor did prompt me into this, and he thought it might be good, so that's why I'm here. Any questions that you might have?
No, I'm glad to have all three of you apply, and I'm also glad to see new people coming in with an interest, and that we've needed that for a long time, and I appreciate your interest.
You have a background with budgeting and
yes,
all the rest of that good stuff that goes along with being a manager.
I was a director of global operations for this corporation. And
what corporation?
TL Corporation. We used to be part of Motorola, and so forth and so on.
Another one thing.
But as far as budgeting, that was how we were majored as part of senior staff. I mean, you didn't have too many conversations. It was numbers. And in fact, in a conversation I have with Corey about, there's a budget committee membership that's also in play, apparently. And
absolutely. That's one reason why I mentioned this, because we definitely need some
help on that. That's why I checked off both boxes on the application. And that might be a better fit. I don't know. I mean, again.
Sometimes experience isn't everything on this either. It's the interest you have, it's the foresight. You see what you see this town becoming, because we are still new.
Right.
So I think it's important for you to just look at what you would feel comfortable with what you would like to take on as a challenge, and you know, because that's where a lot of us have come from, is just an interest to develop and learn and grow.
With the Fine being so young, the opportunity to participate, I think, is a lot. There's much more opportunity to participate. You know, from where I used to live, I mean, there was no, I mean, it's just, you know, millions of people, and, you know, commissions had who knows how many people, and I didn't want anything to do with that. This, on the other hand, I like the small town. I like the idea of being kind of on the ground floor.
And I think we're all kind of learning as we go, so, I mean.
Right, right. Well, in one capacity or another, maybe I can learn with you.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
John.
Great. Okay. Now, do we have a recommendation?
Item number 11 on the agenda, if the commission thinks they can make a recommendation tonight to the city council.
Russ?
I think John would make a tremendous asset that we could use on the budgeting committee. And I hate to do bean counting stuff, so I'm staying off of that one. Unfortunately, I have too much experience, and that's why I don't like it.
Can you be on the planning and budget?
Yeah, I don't see why you couldn't. You know, one thing that I did have to check on the ordinance that creates the planning commission is that, you know, we have it was an issue, could have been an issue previously, because we used to have two planning commissioners that resided outside the city limits. Mm-hmm. As it stands right now, we have one resident that resides outside the city limits, so it doesn't make a difference whether the person lives inside the city or not. The way the ordinance is written, whether that matters to the planning commissioners, that's another question. But I did want to clarify that note, and we had to verify distance within the city. You have to live within Deschutes County within 5 miles of the city. Is the way the ordinance is written. So I just want to share that requirement is met by all the candidates. If the commission doesn't feel comfortable making a recommendation tonight, we're actually not going to have a council meeting before the next planning commission. So there will be one more planning commission meeting before either of these three candidates would be appointed. So if you wanted to say, think on it for a couple of weeks, we'll be back, well, almost 3 weeks, we'll be back here on February 28th. If you wanted to push it to then, you could do that. Because again, we want to have a council meeting to appoint prior to then. So that's just a thought if you feel that you want to do that, but that's up to you three.
We're not used to having so many candidates. This is wonderful. So, would you like to take some?
Can we have a few minutes to talk amongst ourselves? Can you do that?
Probably not.
Okay,
yeah.
So we can just wait beyond that record. How about that?
And we can go offline after.
It's not you three together.
No.
You can't do that. That would constitute a quorum in a public meeting as well. So you have to reflect on it. You could talk with another member, but you couldn't talk as a group. No.
Okay.
Can we postpone it then too? Are you comfortable with that, or you want some more time to think?
Okay. So we'll put it on we can add that to the public. Okay. So we'll put that on February 28th.
I hate to do that, but I think it's an important decision, and that we have so many terrific candidates right now that all of us being new, we need to settle down and just kind of figure out what we're doing. So I appreciate your understanding.
Could I ask one question? Is there a thought that you want to bring us back again, or is this...
Do any of you think that the candidates need to come back, or
I don't know.
You're welcome to attend the meetings as a public meeting to attend. We'll have the same agenda item. It'll be titled Recommendation to City Council to Fill Planning Commission Vacancy, and then we'll probably re-include the three applications in their packet. We won't list out the, we haven't listed each application as an agenda item. We won't do that next time, but okay. You're welcome to attend as a public.
Yeah, and I think with the three of us having three candidates, it's kind of overwhelming, you know, and we really need to just look at them and go, wow.
And now that we've met you all personally, yeah, and everybody's on an equal playing field, that's what's important, I believe. Okay, other matters?
No other matters tonight.
Staff comments?
Let's see, so we've got, we have another public hearing scheduled for February 28th at 5:30. That's a legislative public hearing regarding marijuana dispensaries and text amendments to the zoning ordinance 2012-05. So we'll make sure to send reminders to each of you on that. We'll add to that agenda the recommendation to council to appoint for the one vacancy that's on the Planning Commission. We will not be talking that night about the garage amendments. That will be postponed to a date that's not yet set. We'll keep you informed on that. Just a variety of development applications coming to the door. Putting some things that have been going on for, you know, the seeds were planted a year ago or more, you know, St. Charles as an example, if that site plan decision is going out this
the next day or two.
So that will finish that on our end, and then the ball will be in their court entirely in terms of, you know, when they construct and all that scheduling. Working with a lot of folks who are interested in building in the industrial park, in the commercial zone. I believe some residential developers will be, you know, building this spring and summer as well. So anyone who's smart and is doing their due diligence are talking with us right now in preparation for construction in July or August or September. I mean, we've got quite a few of those folks. The TGM grant I mentioned, that's been about a year in the making as well. That's nearly finalized. That grant, no money comes to the city. It's through the Department of Land Conservation and Development and ODOT. They have a program manager. I sat in with her on interviews to hire a consultant. They're finalizing the contract with the consultant and the scope of work. So I would think that should pick up in the next month or two. I'm just being conservative, but soon. And so, like I said, there will be opportunities for public meetings, community meetings, joint meetings between the Planning Commission and Council, which are always public meetings. So that's in the hopper as well. What am I missing, Danny?
I think that sums it up. I mean, if there are any specific, sorry,
I've got a terrible cold. Passed it to you, right? You're blowing
your nose. My kids are ready to go from school. Like Chris said, we've got development applications coming in daily. And so if there are things you want to peek in on and see what we're doing, and or ones you have specific interest on, or neighbors that are asking about it, let us know. We will try and give you those monthly updates, but because we're working furiously to just get them out of the door for developers to keep moving, it's just as fast as we can keep up with it. So chime in and ask questions, definitely, if you see things you're wondering about. It's all public record, and we're as much input as is available. Okay.
Planning Commission comments?
I think being the very first time up here, it's went very well.
Nice to have you.
Well, thank you. It's nice to have you back.
Both of you. Okay, then I guess Planning Commission can be adjourned.
Somebody make a motion in a second, and then I'll make a motion.
I second it.
Thank you. Planning Commission adjourned. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.